Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Jefferson City Jays. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Anderson Kimball of the News Tribune. And before Anderson and I start to discuss things this week, let's listen to a little bit of his conversation with Jays head coach Damon Wells.
I guess kind of just to start with kind of just the bye week, how do you think the team kind of responded after their season? How do you think they kind of are looking, shaping up for this week?
I love the bye week, and I think the kids responded to it really, really well. The level of belief is sky high right now, so we need to try to capitalize on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I guess kind of looking in next week, what do you kind of see, I guess, the challenges and kind of what do you guys kind of need to do, I guess, then this week against Kirksville?
We have to, it sounds cliche, we have to block better. We have to tackle better. That if you're not tackling people in space, we need to be better in space, you know? So I hope to see improvement in those areas.
All right. That was Jays head coach Damon Wells. And before I get to Anderson, let's take a moment to thank a few of our Goal Line sponsors this season. We'd like to thank Jefferson Bank, Scruggs Lumber, Culver's, Capital Region Sports Medicine, Warehouse Tire and Muffler, and Jefferson Asphalt. Well, Anderson, we knew that the Jays were going to have an off week last week, and I'll kind of ask the same question I asked during the Hawaii's podcast. Was it a productive off week for the Jays?
That's what it sounded like talking to Damon Wells. It sounds like they were able to drill in some more so just kind of a couple steps they didn't necessarily get in the offseason, just continued kind of learning of the system and mostly just kind of technique on offense and defense. Their focus was tackling and blocking, and so, I mean, that's one of the things with not having as much time as they maybe would have liked with Wells coming in March, is they were able to kind of keep kind of building on that, a little bit of that base kind of like an offseason week, and so they were able to, it seemed like at least, they were able to have some progress with that.
Like I said, that's an excellent point from the standpoint of we forget that we're still in just year one of this whole thing, and it kind of happened late in the game, so it's kind of one of those things where you just go, sometimes we lose sight of the fact that once you get into the thrust of the season, it's all happened so quickly, but it is still just year one, and in some ways, you know, I think you hope that when you're trying to play during the regular season and you're in a district like Class 4, District 5, where there's only six teams, you're playing for one of those two byes. But you just never know, you know, if you're going to get it and then how you're going to react once you do get it. And then again, with a new coaching staff, sometimes you don't know how they're going to want to do things and what that's going to mean for everything. So it's kind of, you know, very foreign territory for all of them. So it probably was just a kind of learn as you go sort of thing. So, you know, you're kind of hoping that, you know, most years you are in a position where you're going to give yourself a bye if you're in a non completely full district. So that's what you hope for. So we'll get to that point, but we're in the Class 4 District 5 semifinals now, and as we kind of talked about last week and kind of expected, the third seed Kirksville is going to be the Jays' opponent this week. They were able to advance with a 35-12 win over Marshall. We weren't kind of surprised at the fact that the Tigers did that because we kind of expected that from them. But again, they did what they were supposed to, and kind of that's what we expected, and seeds held because Warrenton beat Moberly in the other one. So we have a 1-4 on one side with Hannibal hosting Warrenton, and then we have the Jays hosting Kirksville. So that's kind of what we expected when we got the district announcements. But also, you're always kind of leery of surprises. But now we know that that's who the Jays will be playing this week. So now we get ready for the Kirksville Tigers. To that end, what is maybe a thing or two that maybe concerns Coach Wells about Kirksville?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing is they kind of do something similarly to other kind of spread teams. Like, I mean, like they battled Heckman, which, I mean, they kind of had their struggles with a little bit. And,
okay.
I mean, even against Fortuna West last week before, they kind of locked down the defense in the fourth quarter. I mean, quick throws that put their athletes in space, which Kirksville has a couple athletes. I mean, they've got a wide receiver, Randon Jacobs, and then Landon Yardley, which is a little bit of a tongue twister there. They've got a running back and a wide receiver who aren't necessarily the biggest guys in the world, but they've got some speed and wiggle, and they have a big offensive line. So they're able to kind of give the players, they're able to get the players they want to get the ball the ball with time and space. And so
okay.
They kind of especially on screen passes, they're able to kind of do that. And just kind of tackling has been the focus for the Jays last year, just because that's probably been their biggest question mark on defense.
Okay.
And when they've been able to do that consistently, they've been pretty dominant, but they just haven't been able to do that consistently. So that will really be the key, is if they're able to tackle Kirksville's players in space, then they really shouldn't have any sort of problem Friday.
You know, you mentioned that was kind of a, you know, pass defense was kind of a bugaboo for a little while there, yeah. And that was kind of something that gave them some problems. You know, I think we there. While you're a Jays fan, you might still be concerned about that going into this game. But you know, you've seen stretches during the season where you know it hasn't been a consistent thing. So, how much of that is just trying to, you know, like you say, tackle when you need to tackle, and you know, make sure you make the plays that you need to make. And you know, there are going to be times where, hey, sometimes they're just going to run the right play and they're going to make a good play, and you just got to say, fine, whatever. It's just that when you have the ability to impact plays, you want to be able to do that.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. I mean, they've been able to get turnovers a good amount and make big defensive plays.
Right.
And their run defense over the course of the season has improved a lot in terms of not getting up nearly as many big plays on the ground. But it's just kind of the next step then is kind of they're getting burned through the air still, and that's still kind of the biggest reason why they're giving up a lot of points is when you give up 70-yard touchdowns on screen passes, then, I mean, it kind of makes it,
right.
It kind of makes it tough to, because then you have to adjust for that, and then they've had trouble defending the deep ball against Battle. That was kind of an issue, and so then it just kind of sets you back. And so that's kind of the next step in their natural progression.
Absolutely.
And so, I mean, once they're able to do that, then I think they really will be able to kind of match, and that'll kind of be, you don't want to look ahead too much, but if you're looking up ahead to Hannibal, you know, tackling Aeneas Williams in space is a tall task for anybody, and that's
sure.
The biggest thing they're going to need to do against him too.
Yeah, and you know, you don't want to look too far ahead, because obviously you've got this game to play this week, and I'm sure that nobody on the Jays is looking at it from that standpoint. And it bears repeating that, you know, this is a Kirksville team that I think we've talked a lot about the Jays in terms of this year progressing nicely and kind of improving as the season's gone on. And yes, there have been a few hiccups, but I think from day one till now, we've seen a marked improvement from things. You know, things didn't start out great for Kirksville. I mean, they started out 0-2 and they ended up 7-3. So, you know, they've won 7 of their last 8, you know, and that only, you know, only hiccup in those was, of course, a 41-0 blanking to Hannibal. So Hannibal's done that to a lot of people this year. So, you know, that's not to be, you know, unexpected. So it is a Kirksville team that's also kind of trending upwards as we get to this matchup. So, you know, I feel like it's kind of one of those games where you just go, this is kind of what you kind of expect sometimes out of those 2-3 matchups. You kind of expect teams that are kind of, you know, both playing pretty well, both kind of improving as the season's gone along, and it's just going to be a matter of, okay, who's able to execute what they want to do better in order to have some success. We mentioned, you know, that what they like to do on offense. How suited do you think that the Jays are in terms of their offense going against the Kirksville defense to be able to have some success in this game?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're pretty suited. I mean, unfortunately, there's a lot of teams in mid-Missouri kind of like to play that wing T style, so it probably won't be something that Kirksville hasn't seen before.
But, right, sure.
I mean, and Kirksville's defense has, you know, in terms of that stretch, I mean, they've, against everybody but Hannibal, they've been able to usually put up some points, and their offense hasn't really ever been a whole lot overmatched, but it's just some games where they just kind of gotten outscored early in the year. And so, I mean, I think that's kind of what Jefferson City is going to want to look to do. I mean, their offense has been rolling, and I mean, with the way that their offensive line's been able to kind of move and be able to, even with players who don't necessarily have the most size, be able to still kind of make an impact and give runners space. I mean, I think that kind of makes them a pretty good matchup for almost anybody in Class 4, honestly. So.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and again, it is kind of weird to be talking again about that with the Jays in Class 4. It's kind of an unusual thing. It's going to take some getting used to coming out of my mouth for, you know, getting so used to them being in Class 6 for so many years. But yeah, you kind of hope that, you know, if you're the Jays, you just hope that you know you didn't maybe lose some of that offensive momentum with the bye week, because yeah, things were clicking pretty well other than kind of the one game against Helias. But you know, if you go back just you know the last 7 games or so, you're talking about, I think the lowest scoring game other than that 7 points against Helias was 34, and you know, you also hit 66 and 55 and 50. Yeah. You know, so you kind of hope that maybe things haven't gone dormant in the week that you had off. So I mean, I don't think that they will, because I do think that the Jays are talented enough and have talented enough playmakers that they'll be able to do that. But you just go, man, sometimes, you know, you kind of wish you were playing a game instead of having a bye week. But you'd have to deal with the hand you're dealt, so that's you know, neither here nor there. So what do you think about the Jays' ability, I mean, in terms of being able to make plays against this Kirksville defense? Do you see this as maybe being a higher scoring output from the Jays in this one?
Yeah, I would say so. Oh, I would honestly say scoring wise will be pretty similar to the last couple games. I think they'll kind of want to be. I mean, ideally, you want to score as many points as you can.
Sure.
I think a realistic goal is kind of be in the 50s again, or maybe even the mid 40s if it's a slower game. It's kind of dependent on them, on how, when, what way they run the ball. You know, if you're able to run outside with Pathino, then obviously you can score a lot really quickly.
Sure.
But
sure.
The last couple of games, teams have kind of tried to take him away and have given Pendleton space, where it kind of makes those drives a little methodical and takes some more time off the clock. But offense isn't necessarily less effective. It's just scoring less because its drives are taking more time.
Sure, sure.
So, I mean, I would kind of, yeah, I think they're if they can get it in the mid 40s to low 50s like they had the last couple weeks, I think that's kind of where they're going to want to be. Just because with their defense, you are going to kind of expect them to give up some points, even
sure.
if it's not necessarily as much as it's been previously.
Yeah. I got to imagine that having the week off was good for everybody in terms of bumps and bruises and just getting a little bit healthier. I mean, everybody at this time of year, I'm sure, you know, likes to play and likes to have a regular schedule. But at the same point, it's just also nice to get a little bit of extra rest when you have that opportunity. So I got to imagine that probably helped the Jays out this last week.
Yeah, I mean, it did. Luckily for them, it seems like they haven't had as many injuries besides Barron's in the last couple weeks, and he was able to return. I mean, they're not really sure. I mean, I guess it's one of the things where, like, he'll be available, but just coming back from injury, kind of like I said that week, just being out that long, it's how much can he kind of reintegrate
sure.
back in the fold, and how much do they feel comfortable, I guess, using him? Because, I mean, his availability and his, I mean, with the way he played at the beginning of the year, especially on defense, his ability isn't really the question. It's more how much can you get him back, how quickly can you get him
sure.
back up to speed, and kind of how much do you kind of then want to use him and kind of risk him coming back so quickly.
Alrighty, I guess it gets us to the prediction point of the podcast, and how do you see this one playing out? I think I kind of know which way you're leaning, but what do you see as maybe the final score of this game that takes place at 7 o'clock Friday night at Atkins Stadium?
Yeah, I mean, I think Kirksville's been improved. I mean, but the thing is, you did see Capital City kind of, they're able to be disciplined and make a couple stops. I mean, their offense wasn't able to keep up with Kirksville and the teams played this year, but they kind of showed that, you know, if the Jays can have the same, can play defensively the same way Capital City did, I don't really think they should have much of an issue.
Okay.
I think that they'll be able to do that. So I think the final score will be 45-31, Jeff City.
All righty. That should do it for this week. For Anderson Kimball, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's games, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following NT Sports on Twitter. Thanks for listening.